Capuchins have great coffee to start their day.
And boy, do they know how to dress in that cappuccino colored robe.
That's it.
Classic brown. Classic.
Wait, yeah, what was the color?
Gray blue.
So
one color or two colors?
So it's a harmony of colors where gray blue is, I think even some of the trucks like Ford's got something that's very similar. It's kind of this light gray and it's got a blue hue to it.
They call it Franciscan of the Immaculate Blue.
Right. Yes.
Cool.
Or for your F-150.
Marion Blue.
Yeah, we're rocking here. It's the Beatitudes. Happy Monday, everybody. If you're listening to this when it comes out, we're the Beatitudes. It's a show and a movement for Christian men who are seeking to walk arm in arm as they grow closer to the Lord and to experience it through humor and holiness, taking the faith seriously, but not ourselves.
Correct.
My name is Jeff Scheffelbein, middle initial D. I'm joined by Nicholas Besner.
Got a 1 in 26 chance.
I know this.
Middle initial A, Andrew.
You were close.
Andrew.
Middle initial.
My dad's name.
Yeah. Well, welcome, Andy.
Yeah.
Junior.
Andy B.
All right. And then Paul Kolker with a middle initial of a J.
Nailed it.
M.
Yeah. You got it.
I mean, we've done this on a show. I have no idea.
I just assumed it was Michael, but I don't know.
Is it Paul Michael?
That is actually correct.
Oh, like the hairdresser.
What?
That's Paul Mitchell.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
No, it's
that's how it's spelled. And it's both how it's spelled and how you say it.
I don't care how things are spelled.
I know.
Man after my own heart.
How do you say my own name the right way?
It's so funny that Paul Michael Salon. No one knows what you're talking about.
Oh, is that how you say that?
Oh, Mitchell with the TCH
in the
middle of the word?
Based on phonetics, yes.
Yeah. Speaking of TCH.
Oh, those things, Paul.
Speaking of TCH, it's time to make a switch.
Oh, nice. Hey, that was a good one. Yeah.
Hey, plus one.
I do know some spelling.
We kind of missed on the high five, but no big deal.
No, look, high fives are hard.
It's tricky. It's
true. We're joined today by a good friend and a warrior and a leader and a guy who is a self-proclaimed Eeyore on the mic.
Yeah.
Aaron Fowler. Welcome, dude.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
Did you think it was going to happen this quickly that you'd end up at the beginning of season three?
No. Yeah. Just came out of nowhere, and I was pleased to be welcome. So fill in or not, it's all good.
You know, we gave you a test run. You realize this, right?
Of course I did. And no, I knew you were testing me, so I was like, all right, I got to nail this. And if not, that's okay, too.
We put him on a radio show that's listened to by mostly, different demographic.
The local... elderly radio
space listeners.
Yeah.
And we went a little crazy on there. We got goofy
a little bit. Yeah.
But brother, you there were some layers there. Even your friends called me afterwards, all of them, and they said
all three.
Some of your friends. No, two of, just two of them.
And said that they learned things about you on the radio.
Great.
Which then I learned our demographic has shifted. There's some younger people listening to the show.
That's it.
Welcome. So we know Aaron through the Dallas community because you are the executive director of a pro-life pregnancy resource center. I try to use all the right words here, called Birth Choice Dallas.
Yeah.
In a pretty cool role there. Some stuff we'll talk about. We're going to save some really cool updates on that one for the bonus show if you come back on Friday. But Aaron, you've watched this show before. You know how this goes. We pray, we press play, and then you say things that are amazing.
Yes.
Take a shot.
Kind of like that. If you observed how that unfolded.
You would fit in so well at my house. My daughter, 2-year-old, is really into saying, like, those rhymes. She'll say, like, white and black, that rhymes. So, like, Jeff, you're nailing it.
Manage expectations.
I have declared that it is so.
Totally rhymes. Take us back. So, Aaron, how did you end up in Dallas? Let's start there. How did you end up in this place? You didn't grow up here.
Yeah, I was born in Dallas. I was born in Dallas, grew up here. Sorry, missed that.
Got here by being
at the beginning.
Jeff, do we need to get you the guest primer? What is going on today?
Leave him alone. He's trying his best.
This is a true story. I was in Florida this morning.
And by this morning, by this morning, I mean, I went to bed at something like 1:30 Florida time, which was 12:30 here. So I was awake this day in Florida and slept for 3 hours and got on a plane. So yes.
Oh, you were actually in Florida.
No, that actually happened.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Never mind. I'll give you some leeway there.
Grace.
I don't always have that bestowed.
Excuse. Never mind. Yeah, I have no room to criticize.
Thank you.
But I will still. Yeah, I don't have room to, but I will.
Aaron, you, like I was kind of getting at, you weren't from here for a little while. There was a little while here where you weren't from. You left.
I wasn't initially from the place I was from, but the story kind of unfolds by being born in Dallas, moving out to the country in high school, and then abandoning the country and moving to Italy and living as a friar.
Wow.
Okay. Did you say abandoning the country or abandon the country?
Either one. I mean, there's
you did both.
Yeah, it was kind of just like leaving and moving into a new place, but not of my own will. So I just like was sent.
Okay, man. I got so many questions here. You go to your childhood. How were you raised? You got siblings raised in the faith. Like, what is your world like there?
Yeah, I had a great childhood upbringing. So I went to Catholic school, St. Pius the 10th Catholic School here in Dallas. I was raised as a Catholic as far as I can remember. I think I was baptized somewhere around 5, as I mentioned before. I was christened and kind of
nobody listening to this has ever heard a radio show.
Okay, well, all right.
I have not heard the before part.
Don't forget, there's more than 3 of your friends listening to this one.
Awesome. 4 or 5 show up on
there. Did you just say the word cult, by the way? Did you just slip in cult?
Occult, yeah.
Occult.
Yeah. So had the kind of christened in the occult. Which was bizarre, but my parents and my godparents had a major life conversion, and so I was brought into the Catholic Church.
You're not kidding about this. This
wait,
is like,
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. So you're saying occult, right? The occult.
Yeah. So the occult is that's a really wide and broad spectrum of perspectives and practices. So you have multiple layers of how Gnosticism influences occult, but anything that includes the belief that the cosmos is a one essential energy that is immediate to everything here in our world, and there's no unique differences, there is kind of a worship in that, and you can have witchcraft and wizardry and all these bizarre layers, and just practicing the New Age participates in that. And so
all the like New Agey kind of stuff, yeah, with crystals. And
New
whatever.
Age is the way that Christians contextualize the practice, where someone might use certain Christian principles and apply that to Gnostic occultism from the
Got
ages.
Got it.
And you started there?
Yeah. So I was christened into the cosmos, and then baptized in the Catholic Church. My parents raised me in the church. I went to St. Pius, as I mentioned. I have 5 little sisters, and then basically. Fast track into the teenage years. I decided at 17 it was better to live on my own and figure things out. So I moved out and started a journey of being a strange heathen. And then I had a major life conversion in my early 20s.
Was that when you started a band?
Yeah, I had a few different bands I played in. As my wife made a really excellent observation. So I'm trying to, woo her and play some music, and at some point she said, I haven't been in several bands. I thought you would have been better. I was like, I know you're right. So that doesn't even offend me, because it's just like the truth. But I did play a little bit and had little, CD, but back in the early 2000s, like, it's not like today where you could have scaled totally differently. Mm-hmm. I had like 3 friends that thought I was good at that time too.
Nice.
They're loyal.
So, yeah, I enjoyed kind of playing.
No, totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, they abandoned me as soon as I stopped, but just made some really significant life experiences, and then transitioned into kind of accepting our Blessed Lord and shifting my life and looking towards a religious life.
And you just drop big things and you just keep moving on. Like,
I know. Yeah. You just casually stay.
I'm like, whoa.
Let me be clear. It's not like Eeyore's going around like, hey, Pooh, I bought a mansion. Like, it's your Eeyore parallel is falling apart quickly here.
Your Eeyore, if he had a PhD, is kind of what's happening here. Oh,
and more charisma.
Yeah, I was christened in Gnosticism. Sorry, what? Like, full stop. Let's
Can you do that as Eeyore?
I was christened in Gnosticism.
The cosmos.
The cosmos.
Well, are you able to give any insights? Because I think people are either have experienced this and won't recognize it, or they are longing for it. What does that mean that you had this experience, maybe this moment of encounter or something that brought you back to the light? What was that?
Years of my parents praying the rosary and you know, really focusing on an opportunity that I might correspond with God's grace and change my direction, because I knew the truths. I just decided to ignore them for convenience sake, right? To live and explore and pretend like those things didn't end up catching up to me at some point.
Hmm. Got it. That's so you're in the band, you're not good.
You're in the band for fun, not for getting better at music.
Right, right, there you go. It was just really for fun. It was just to kind of experiment. I'm kind of a bizarre creative that loves to just experiment and playing music was something I kind of picked up living in the country during high school. And found some friends, and we all just started playing music together.
Did you take yourself, like, when you moved to the country as a 17-year-old, did you then go to, like, finish high school by yourself? Or?
So my parents actually moved out to the country, and then we were there for a few years, okay. And I left the country to move back to town about 17. And so out there in Cattle Mills, there just really wasn't a lot to do. So I ended up playing video games and guitar.
At the same time?
At the same time.
It's called Guitar Hero.
Before Guitar Hero was a thing. Yeah.
you did it.
Yeah, I created it.
So then it sounds like this pendulum swings pretty hard. Where does it go from you have this like reversion experience? What happens after that?
So during that kind of reversion, my parents praying and just introducing me to their insistence, I had a really great experience where my grandmother was not a practicing really Christian or a Catholic at all. And the last year of her life, she ended up passing away from cancer. And that last year she came into the church, participated in all of the liturgy for an entire year. And I was living with my parents at that time. And she passed away with me and my mom praying there at the Divine Mercy for around 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then you decide, I'm going to go all in, and what happens next in your spiritual faith journey?
Yeah, I had this kind of really significant shift in my early 20s.
You know, you have like a fascinating story, so stop making me pull your teeth. Just talk, son.
I'll do my best.
Well, in fairness, we're kind of not helping him, because when he does just blow through the story, we're like, well, slow down.
Yeah, tell me more gritty
now
details.
Speed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ever hoed a row?
I'm not the best storyteller for a variety of reasons, but
you're doing great.
We're the problem.
Yeah, really, it's us. For some reason, people are still tuning in, though, but it's because of the guests, I think, usually.
And sleep, right? Yeah. Sleep is always helpful. So kind of having the life conversion, coming into a new way of really accepting the future. And so I'm a kind of a big picture thinker. I would like to say if it was true that I would kind of strategize in 100-year periods and just kind of evaluate things in really long term and long, large scale problem solving. And when I turned to this conversion, I said, I have no future. What does future look like? And I immediately said, I think the Lord is calling me here. And all of the graces led up to joining the religious life and pursuing the priesthood. And so I made such a radical shift. I had a bunch of friends that would sit down and talk to me about the faith. So I just immediately initiated in some really deep conversations, which I wasn't really competent to have prior to that. But one of the neatest things that happened during that time, there is a book by Ludwig Ott on dogmatic theology. And I have dyslexia and some other kind of reading comprehension obstacles from my youth, and I think that still plagues me today. But I sat down with this doctorate level like theology manual, and I just absorbed it, just like consuming it, just like page after page. Okay, I get this. This is all great, and it just kind of clicked. And that never happened before. and so then I would talk to people, right, and just have sit down conversations at Starbucks for 10 hours, and talk to them about things that I had no idea about, but I would just intuit my way around the conversations and learn rapidly instead of, because the internet really didn't have content like that as much.
So, so you just kind of goodwill hunted your way into theology?
If I'd seen that movie, I could probably agree. Oh, okay. Sure.
You know, just thinking.
He's right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Just kind of, you know, casually solving complex math problems at Harvard or MIT. Yeah. And so it's like this kind of low-level janitor character or whatever who feels like he's out of place, but then he's going and solving mystery problems in the middle of the night.
Sure, yeah, if it worked out like that and if I could give myself that much credit, but that would be awesome.
Well, I mean, if you just absorbed this doctorate level of dogmatic theology, I mean, I'd say that's, you know, that's on that level.
Fits it. Okay.
We've never had a guest sit here and say that they struggled until they picked up Ludwig Ott.
Until.
Yeah. So there is definitely grace upon you in this this story.
It was huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You said you were discerning priesthood. You don't look like a priest to me now. What happened?
Nope. So I joined the Franciscans of the Immaculate, which was a fantastic religious order, and that's a whole conversation itself. But went and was shipped off to Italy and spent several years there studying metaphysics and epistemology and anthropology in Italian, which was its own kind of unique challenge, and grace abounds all the more in those kind of difficulties. But I had contracted Lyme disease before I'd left, like 6 months before I left. And that impacted so significantly my ability to function that it put me down a path of discernment where I looked at my solemn profession and said, I don't have the ability to make this conviction at this time. I mean, when I'm, say I'm ill, I was to the degree of just emaciated and really in a place where I couldn't even think, but I just kept plowing forward, right? And the actual austerities of non-curated diets, you know, you eat, if you went into town and you begged for your food and they gave you a trash bag full of liver, that's what you ate for a week. The reality of no air conditioning, no heating, showers every once in a while, and sharing everything in common just has a unique level of austerity. And waking up during the nighttime to pray the office, these are all really good things, but to the condition where my health was compromised, it didn't have the prudence where I could commit to that. When I put myself up for my spiritual director, what do? I think I need to go get healthy. Usually that process takes about a month and a half. It was 3 days, and I was back in the United States. It was really God's providence showing me this is the right direction, because that's a really hard thing to discern.
You were sent back, or you were called back? Like, what do you mean?
I was sent back. So I asked permission because I thought this was a prudent thing to do, and the order was like, done.
Even in that prudence and all that, you know, you're very prayerful going into this. Was that a letdown? Like, you did have this month and a half of...
Huge on the grace, recognizing how the process went. Like, wow, the Lord just like opened this up, and it was on the Feast of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. And then I think they confirmed it on the Feast of Guadalupe. And then I was back in my parents' house to start recovering. And then I discerned through a variety of, you know, serious considerations and some spiritual direction that wasn't the direction the Lord was calling me for. And so I really shifted gears and said, okay, I'm basically the property of the Immaculate. What am I to do? And now I'm a dad farmer running a pregnancy center.
You know, just natural transition.
Just your standard resume, you know? That's, yeah.
I'm just a dad farmer running a pregnancy center. But...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Kids, how many?
Four little boys, and then my wife is pregnant with our fifth.
Yeah, awesome.
Nice.
So sweet. What were your parents' reaction when you left and when you came back for this journey to Italy?
My parents both and my sisters had a really conflicted experience where they're so happy and so sad, because in the religious life isn't as similar as someone just going to a seminary or, you know, traveling. There was I could call and talk to them for like 10 minutes once a month. Or there was the possibility that I would never actually see them in person again, depending on where I was sent. And so for them, that was really, really hard. On my part, it was one of grace where I was like, yes, I love you. I'd love to be here, but I'm called. I'm okay with whatever consequences are going to come along with that. And so I was motivated. And for them, that felt like something was missing. And when I came back, there's a really neat little video where I told my dad, he picked me up from the airport, and it was right around that Christmas time. They thought they were getting a new Christmas present, and my mom had desired for me to come home because she knew how sick I was for years. And she just like collapsed, you know, joy and sadness and overwhelm when she saw me, because it was like unreal.
Yeah,
and
so couldn't process.
Yeah, you have kind of some neat cameras. They had that little camera going, and on your audio scale, your profile just hit like the white noise, went, you know, because the screaming, and it was just really.
That's great. Like watching soldier videos or something. I want to see this video.
Yeah.
And what did they, similar thing when they found out you were going on the Beatitudes? Paul nearly spit out his drink.
With a straight face.
That was well delivered.
Close, yeah. I mean, just right 1 degree below that.
It's a big degree.
Yeah, it's most of the degree.
From a 1 to a 0.
Yeah.
It's a scale. Hey, so how did you end up? You come back. Did you have to go through this? How do you end up in the role you're in now? Like, what is this career progression of yours from being called to discerning that there's a different path?
The hope is that it's just the Lord's providence, because I don't really know how to plan out a career trajectory. It's just like, Lord, where am I now? Okay, that's the next opportunity, and I'll try to fulfill to the best of my abilities whatever I'm kind of called to. So I had that disposition, as I kind of mentioned before, to live and be able to sustain the peace and the joy in the life of an authentic Franciscan contemplative life. You take your self-will, you grind it down to powder and blow it into the wind, and it turns into like whatever it is the Lord might open up the door for you at any moment, and you're disposed to, yes, Lord, thanks. And that's about that. So I don't really know how to answer that question.
But you were facing the wind at the time, so it blew
back out. In my eye. Yeah.
Surprise. Some of it's in that beard. You can see it right now.
So you got to have some of it back, though, right? And although for somebody who says he thinks in 100-year increments, you're really good at going with the flow. So
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of being extra flexible.
I mean, and maybe that's the religious formation, that process.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Yeah.
It's an interesting paradox.
Right.
For people who don't know, it was called the Franciscans of the Immaculate?
Yep.
What are the key pillars or inspirations for this order? I don't know anything about this group.
So the Franciscans of the Immaculate was started by Father Stefano Manelli. He was a spiritual son and lived with St. Pio Pietrelcina for several years and got kind of direct experience of not only grace but direction for his life. He desired greatly. He was a conventual, so he was following along and wanted to join in the Missio Immaculata of St. Maximilian Kolbe, and went to join those friars over there, and they didn't have what it seemed like he believed St. Maximilian had put forth. And at that time, we're talking like the 60s. And so he then started to create his own order, and it was permitted to not only be under a local bishop ordinary, but under the universal church. So it's one of the four pontifical institutes of the Franciscan order. And that's super complicated to try to describe that whole detail.
Yeah, but pontifical meaning that it's under the pontificate, correct, right, which is the way we refer
it's universal
to
across
we
the
refer
world.
To the Pope as he's the pontiff, right? He's the bridge.
Mm-hmm. What's another one? Another one of the four pontifical.
So you have conventual, Capuchin, Friar Minors, and the Franciscans of the Immaculate.
Mm.
And then you've got hundreds of small ones in local ordinaries.
Non-pontifical. NPs.
Sure.
Capuchins have great coffee to start their day.
And boy, do they know how to dress in that cappuccino-colored robe.
That's it.
Classic brown.
Classic.
Wait, yeah, what was the color?
Gray-blue.
Gray-blue,
So
one color or two colors?
So it's a harmony of colors where gray-blue is, I think even some of the trucks, like Ford's got something that's very similar. It's kind of this light gray, and it's got a blue hue to it.
They call it Franciscan of the Immaculate Blue.
Yes. Cool. Or for your F-150.
Marion Blue.
What's the RGB like color coding there?
Not a clue. But the conventuals is where Father Stefano came from. So when you see images of St. Maximilian, he's wearing black. Well, black is what you wear when you are at home. When you're in mission, you would wear gray. And so we don't have really any documentation of when he was in Japan, but he would have worn gray. And then to add this element of Marian blue, the focus of that institute is to promote and spread Mariology and Marian devotion in light of Vatican II's call to not only holiness, but to elevate the active life and the contemplative life together.
I think you do a great service for this order, because I've never heard besides you anybody ever say these words.
Yeah.
And I think that anybody listening to this may either have their own calling or at least curiosity. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you curious to play a game with us?
Oh, let's do it.
Ooh,
let's
yeah.
do it.
The game is called Blessed Are the Joke Makers, for they shall inherit the points. This one's going to be 63.
Mm.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's a little lower than your average.
A little lower than average, probably.
All right. And the way this works is we've got a character card and a Catholic card game card, and we have to answer whatever the prompt is on the Catholic card game card as this character. So we have to. It's just raw improv in the moment, and you just get to decide which one you enjoyed the most. It's purely subjective. You don't have to. There's no criteria. Nothing. No Ludwig Ott going to break it down for you. You just.
It's a heavy lift for me to do, so I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
I memorized a little Ludwig Ott before this, just in case it comes into the prompt, because I'd like to pander. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect.
Just a little. I just took a little snapshot.
Can't
just
wait to see
two, three chapters.
Can't wait to see what you think Ludwig Ott said. All right.
He's an otter, right?
A what?
An otter.
That's the Disney version of dogmatic theology. All right, here we go. So the character is, as a crazy cat lover, the next council will be in response to blank.
The next council will be in response to all of the bad music that's happening in Catholic churches these days, and just kind of losing that air of mysticism. And I've got this keyboard, it's a Casio that I got, and I can press this button here. And let me just give you maybe an example. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Keep going.
Meow, 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 meow.
Well, I think, you know, it's great that the church is taking such an interest in eternal life, and we know that cats have 9 lives, and so I'm excited about how we unpack each of those lives and the experiences for each of those cats, and so I can't wait for, you know, just the spirit of Catechin 2.
Nice.
Gosh, what a setup.
So good.
You didn't say that about mine?
I did not.
I noticed.
As an elderly bald man with my little bald cat, of course, the next council will be about the greatest, baldest cats of all time, those of the Egyptian lineage, and how, in fact, early Egyptians were the first Catholics, which, of course, makes no sense when you look at the lineage of timeline and when Jesus was here and when the Egyptians lived, but this will be decided in the next council.
All right, all you cool cats and kittens.
I'm feeling good.
It should be.
It's raining catechisms and dogmas out here.
Wow.
Gosh.
Oh, I love the Catechin too. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
One.
All right, buddy. Yeah, you earned it, brother.
Thank you.
Good job, Paul.
I mean, I've
might have sang "He Will Raise You Up" in cat.
Meow, meow, meow.
Took some
meow,
courage for
meow,
that.
Meow,
that's all right.
I started to lose my tone there because I was like, I was too,
like, where are you going? I don't know.
But I was too worried about where I was on the keyboard.
Sure.
Because I'm very technically
well, for sure.
Proficient. Accurate.
And it's a Casio that you were playing.
Pretty good.
Slinging those keys.
Yeah.
You know, the ivory. That has nothing to do with cats. Hey, for being our celebrity, celebrity judge. We're giving you a pair of socks. We're giving you St. John the Baptist socks.
Oh, nice.
They're bright orange.
Yes, to match any bright orange pants you might have.
Do you feel like these are socks you'll ever wear?
I'll wear those on Sunday to the Catholic Bishops for Life dinner.
There you go.
There you go. To the Catholic Mass. Well, nice. Good deal. And all you out there, cool cats and kittens, can get your own Beatitudes. Well, they're not Beatitudes socks. They're just sacrilegious socks. But throw in /Beatitudes on their website and get 10% off.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see you after the break.
Yeah.
The team at Aquinas Wealth Advisors believes that good values and good returns are not mutually exclusive. Using a tech-smart and morally sound approach, they provide investment alternatives that align with Catholic teachings without sacrificing returns. These days, faith-driven investors are finding it hard to know where their money is going. They have no visibility into what their dollars are supporting, but there's a better way. Thanks to the Faith and Finance Score from Aquinas Wealth Advisors, you can look into your current holdings to see what you're supporting and make a switch to an advisor that aligns with your values and gives power to your voice. Check out AquinasWealth.com today.
Hey, Beatitudes, it's Jeff here. When Nick and I set out and we started this company, Undivided Life, we decided to not use traditional healthcare, but we went with Solidarity HealthShare because we thought it was an affordable and ethical alternative that matched the needs of our business and our growing families. Since then, my family put Solidarity to the test. We've had pregnancies, babies, emergency room visits, even a brain surgery for one of my children, and Solidarity has been an incredible partner and has also had the cost and the ethical approach that we love. Here's a link for you to go check it out. learnmore.solidarityhealthshare.org/beatitudes. This is your chance to be in solidarity with the Schoeffelbein family.
Hi, it's Paul Kolker from the Beatitudes here, and I just wanted to share with you guys that I also, outside of the show, perform improv comedy on a regular basis with a group called Divine Comedy. So what we do is we come up with everything on the spot, so whether you're looking for faith-filled, fun, family-friendly comedy for your youth night, or whether you're looking for clean comedy for your corporate event, Divine Comedy can perform for your group and even get you in on the action. So if you'd like to hire us to come out and perform for your next event, check out DivineComedyImprov.com. Divine Comedy, an inferno of fun.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here with Aaron Fowler. Man, we covered a lot of ground there in the first segment. Are you a cat or a dog lover? I think that's an appropriate question coming out of that...
Farmer. So yeah, the feral cats are awesome, and they take care of what they need, and the dog that can guard the other animals is ideal. So I'm kind of partial to both.
Both.
Kind of on the fence.
Not so much on the pet side.
What kind of farming do you do?
So not enough right now, but the goal is to have, you know, the animals kind of a permafarming model so that there's a focus on the soil and the land, and to have animals managing and providing nutrients back and then receiving nutrients from that and just breeding some. It's kind of like a side hustle right now.
Gotcha.
Eventually, if we can kind of eat off of that and provide a little bit of money back, that'd be awesome.
Two things. I always hear from the young people, you know, symbiotic farming and breeding is kind of just a side hustle. It's like kind of the big side hustle big these one. Days. You're seeing a lot of that, just kids everywhere. The other thing is...
All my friends.
If somebody said... That's true.
He's like, yes, actually. Yeah.
If somebody said, what kind of farmer is he? And they asked me, I'd say a cocky one. He came to my house and started like dropping the mic like, you want donkeys? You don't want donkeys.
You don't want donkeys.
And he's like opening doors and walking through like he owns the place. Like,
Aaron, you've never even been here before. Why are you treating me like this?
I tell you what you need over here.
I didn't even walk through like I owned the place. And I used to live there.
Have we mentioned what Paul did on the show?
Not on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
You just told
Paul
me.
Lived in our house.
Mm-hmm.
I live in his house.
Yeah.
I don't know how this works.
My parents built this house. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true.
Yes.
My parents birthed me, so we got a lot in common. He shows up to the house for his first visit, and him and his wife get out of the car, and I'm like just showing up from work, and I'm like squinting, like, is he just stopping by here before he goes to something? I thought we were gonna have like dinner and hang out, because he's in a full-on suit, vest, and then I see that he's got a pocket watch and a monocle.
Yeah, and an ascot.
Oh, sorry. That was really it. What am I even talking about? You actually got the ascot. And I'm like, you own an ascot? And he's like smiling. He goes, good sir. And then his wife comes around the corner, dressed to the nines with this sparkly jacket draped over her shoulder on this like beautiful dress, awesome sparkly necklace. And I'm like, what? And it was his wife's idea to surprise and delight.
Amazing. Yeah.
We knew it was Jeff's love language, so we were like, we can't come to a fancy housewarming party.
That's awesome.
Without being fancy dressed.
They're upstairs in little Paul's bedroom, dressed like they're going to the Monte Carlo later for craps night.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It was so fun to watch him just drop like all of his work stuff. Like, what is happening?
My complete.
Like, how many kids threw up on your stuff? No.
We did bring a change of clothes.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
that's true.
It was just for the bit.
So, anyways, he did own my house, but Aaron walks in and he just starts calling the shots. We're gonna put chickens here. We need baby cows. We need baby whatever chicklets.
Yeah, while we were watching some of the film and some of the conversations, I just pulled up the legislation for the city of
Coppell,
right?
Yeah.
And so I read through that, and because your wife was asking, I was like, well, you can have one mini pig. I think you can get a Highland cow. You can get this many chickens.
Literally,
and this and
checking
that.
Checking out ordinances.
Awesome.
And she was like, all right, let's do it. And Jeff's like, put the brakes.
Highland cow sounds awesome,
right?
Can you find a Highland cow rescue where they're not all beaten?
Near the Highlands. Yeah. Aren't you on that board?
Oh, come on, right? Roll that into school?
Yeah. I have not been back in that 40 acres. They must be back there somewhere. Abandoned Highland cows.
Ah,
oh, awesome. My goodness. That's also a great mascot. We had to look up the name of your mascot. We're trying to get you and Mike Murray to stop yapping.
Oh, yeah.
And we were all like naming out stuff, and y'all didn't move, so we finally looked up. It was the Rangers.
Yeah, that's right. You caught our attention. And then you're like, we got to bust this.
Yeah. Well, all kidding aside, first of all, I do think a great question to ask at a dinner party that Paul already kind of nailed us with is, are you more of a catechism or a dogma person? Like, I just think that's,
that's good.
Pretty awesome. You know, anyways.
I've been sitting on that joke for a while, and it finally became appropriate.
It's very, yeah. I'm, the patience you showed.
Shewed. Actually, I think it used to, British, it used to be spelled S-H-E-W.
You shewed us so much of your patience. You said rosary earlier. Is that how people say rosary?
So Chris makes fun of me frequently on the way I enunciate certain things.
Bring
it
back.
And the best I can imagine is that I have some kind of brain dysfunction that from the Italian, thinking in Italian back to English, that I don't enunciate things.
Do you know,
probably,
after all the reading I did prepping for you, I would tell her she ought not to do that.
Like I said, continue.
Wait, you did a lot of prep on him, but you couldn't remember where he was from? Namely here?
I was reading stuff in different languages.
Oh, sure. Okay, yes.
I did not realize that Dallas was where we are.
Dallas.
All right, we got our TBD question of the day. This is one for all four of us to answer. Aaron, you can jump in at the end here, but what is a lesson or a trait that you specifically got from your mother, a mother trait, or a mother, not
the
a mother, trait.
The mother of all traits.
Yes.
Yes.
Or like a lesson. Nicholas, you got one?
I do.
Okay.
My mom was really involved and would always help with school and like making sure you're like studying and doing well and even in extracurriculars. And I think it's like the above and beyond sort of in like the presentation, like putting a bow on things, right? Like I never won the science fair, but I got like best in show at the science fair.
Yeah.
Like make it presentable in a way that like you might be the same project somebody else is doing, but yours is going to look better.
That's
right?
Cool.
Yeah.
With an excellence.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Paul?
Yeah. So I remember this is one of my earlier memories, and this was pre living in your house where, I remember there was something that happened. I don't remember what the exact accident kind of thing was, but I was careless with something as a kid and just kind of rambunctious, whatever, knocked something over. Something like that had happened. And, my mom was putting me in my place, like, you know, you gotta be careful, that kind of stuff. And I said, well, I didn't mean to. And I remember her saying, well, you have to mean not to. And it blew my mind as a kid because I was like, wait, aren't those the same thing? Like, it sounds like the same set of words. And that was something that I, like, chewed on for a while after that. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I could really try not to do the thing. Like,
yeah.
I could be more aware of. I mean, and not that I put it in those words at the time, but it shifted my focus at the time at a very early age. And that, I think, has kind of developed over time to where it's like, well, what's my intentionality?
100%. I mean, that's the greatest word for that. That's cool.
Yeah.
For my mom, I think I saw this modeled in her when I was young and didn't even realize all the stuff she was doing, but it's like grow where you're planted. Like my parents were both really involved when I was in Virginia as a young kid, you know, born there in their local civic association or, you know, the pool association. And I just watched that all along, like school boards and parents clubs and just all this, like, don't just be the passive observer. You know, wherever you're planted, try to grow there. Mm. And so I think it's just inherent in me to do the same thing with all of my life stuff. So did I use that word right? Inherent?
Oh, yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
It was good.
Took 111 episodes.
But we got there.
Looks like we made it.
Aaron, your mother.
I think my mother really modeled the excellent virtue of piety and just maintaining a constant focus on prayer to get through the challenges.
Mm. That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and you saw that in the stories you shared with us earlier. I think that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Aaron, we're going to do something we've never done before. And if it's not good, then too bad. We won't do it again.
Experiment.
We're going to play a song called Aaron Fowler's Life. And we're going to do it in a way where we're going to popcorn. In fact, I'm going to give you a lot of control right now. You are going to point to whoever you want to be telling the story during that moment. And you can interrupt them at the end of a sentence, the middle of a sentence, the middle of a word. But we're also going to be doing it thematically to this music, just about your life, what we know, maybe what we extrapolate or interpret. And you also get to pick which one of these two songs. I'm just going to play the very beginning. Which one of these two songs would you like to hear the story of Aaron Fowler to? This one? Okay, that's your first option. Your second option? What do you think is going to be a better version? You're like totally in control
just
here.
Two versions of like some
love
anime background music.
There's an otter involved.
Let's go with the first one.
All right.
Right.
Here we go. And you got to pick who's going to be telling us, who's the first lead off. And then you got to be like, you're literally got to make a big motion of it so we know if you're pointing at Paul or Jeff or Nick.
All right.
Who's the starter for this?
Let's see Nick launch this.
Here we go. Nick, can you intro? This is?
Yep. I'm sorry.
What's the song that we're about to do?
Oh, this is, of course, Aaron Fowler's Life. Aaron, born sometime in the early, mid-80s. I think in Dallas. At that point, he was christened.
Into Gnosticism. That's right. New Age stuff, which we should probably all avoid, but thankfully, through constant prayer and God's grace, he was converted from that, and his parents converted and prayed for him and led him on a better path. However, as he got older, he was like,
yo, this farm is not so much of rock and roll. It is rock and old.
So old that I've got to leave these video game guitars behind.
Duh. And, you know, go see if I can maybe read some dogmatic theology. Oh, look, I can, magically, in spite of
my inability to know Italian. Thanks for the grace.
Ready or not, here I come. I'm going to learn you. I'm going to learn you dogmatic theology. I started talking to the books. That's how close. I'm now Aaron.
I felt to them.
And, you know, they say put the lime in the coconut, but they don't say put the Lyme disease in the man overseas.
They say send him back home. It'd be the best Christmas present your mama ever got. And that's exactly what it was. She fell down, but her voice spiked higher and higher, and then I hope she
didn't catch the virus, but that the video went viral. Because we were back together, and then I said, where am I going to work, mama? And I went out and started walking the streets like a Highland cow.
Those Highland cows. And then fast forward many years, and I'm at Jeff's backyard telling him
how to get donkeys and chicklets and cows and all kinds of things shoved into Paul's old house. And I'm a farmer, so I know what I'm talking about.
And my life concluded with a big... Not concluded, it kept going.
He's still alive.
By appearing on the Beatitudes. This is not the last moment, but it did hit a crescendo at the Beatitudes. We brought you all the way up until this moment. What did you think about your life just then?
Great job, guys. Great job.
Did we cover it?
I think you got just
nailed
about
nailed it.
Okay.
Mom, I have a new Christmas present for you. It's a 3-minute look back in my life where I go from third person to first person.
Multiple times. Wow, you survived. You made it You made it through an episode of the Beatitudes.
I feel like I survived that one.
Right? Yeah.
Hey, we're going to be coming back for the bonus show talking with Aaron Fowler, and we're going to go deep into the organization, the Birth Choice Dallas group that does pregnancy resource work and some really exciting updates related to that. In fact, stick around. You're going to want to hear this. We're going to tell you... I'm going to give you a teaser. I'm going to tell you a story about pro-life Spider-Man that's going to blow your mind.
Cool.
Yep. And in between now and then, when we get to back together, my friends, where does Eeyore and Porky Pig live?
The 100 Acres Woods.
We'll see you there. For the rest of you, we will.
See you in the Eucharist.
God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to join us at our undersized table, subscribe to the video version of the show on YouTube by typing at, that's the symbol at, so shift and 2 on your keyboard, @_Beatitudes on YouTube. We'll see you there.